found, Marcus.
Yes, Mr. Marcus. Vince Kennard, CBS News in New York.
Yes, Vince.
You've noticed the story on UPI that the firm there, one of Ross Perot's firms, has dropped considerably on the market. You know, much greater extent than what the market has dropped. We're wondering if there's any reason for that.
No, there sure isn't. Do you work there with Charles Osgood, by any chance?
No, well, I do. Osgood's just across town in the other building.
Okay, because Charles called this morning and...
he phoned this morning.
Right, yeah, and he recorded the conversation, so I think it'll answer any questions. You know?
I see. Okay, well,
I'll be glad. You know, I'll be glad to answer yours, but I just wanted to be sure that you know, you hadn't talked to Charles.
You know, I haven't. He does these dimension these feature programs, and he's in the other building.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I can talk with him, and he'll probably be using that later today anyway.
Okay. Now, if there's anything that you were wondering about that he doesn't have the information on, you know, feel free to call me back.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Could you, just in a nutshell, just for my information at this point, you don't know why the market?
No, we sure don't. There's certainly nothing that's happened in the company that would tend to cause the stock to, you know, either go up or down drastically.
He hasn't gone out and sold all his stock to pay for his plane trips.
No. Business is just, you know, normal.
Okay. Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much for talking.
You're
about
welcome.
Bob.
Thank you
right.
for calling.
I know.
Goodbye. Tom Marcus.
Hello, Tom. Dave Nowinson, ABC Los Angeles.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I wonder if you could give us a little comment, something we might tape for use on our news, on this big tumble of the stock yesterday, and to what you attributed, and the fact that your profits are good and so on. Just a general view on it from your corporate...
I'll be glad to talk to you about it. I don't think I can shed much light, but... you know, I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Well, to what do you and Mr. Perot attribute this big tumble yesterday?
Well, we don't, and we don't even try. The only thing that we can really intelligently comment on is the company and the computer industry in general. And there's certainly been nothing in the company that has happened that's adverse that would cause the stock to do this. Now, when you get into comments about the market, of course, since we're in the computer business, we don't even pretend to understand the market.
Well, there was no big sell-off by any of the company officers, were there?
Oh, no, absolutely not. The officers are considered insiders, and any trading of the stock that officers do is public information, is filed with the SEC, you know, so it's there's nothing secret going on among officers.
Do you know of any reason why any of the stockholders should sell big blocks of the stock?
No, I know of no reason, and I also don't know of any that are, although I certainly don't know what all stockholders are doing, so I don't want to mislead you there.
Right. Are the profit levels good with your company?
Yes, they've been excellent. In fact, we came out about a week ago with our third... the results for the first 9 months of this year versus last year, and profits were up from 17 cents a share to 42 cents a share.
So you would say, Mr. Marcus, that this is all a mystery to you people?
Right.
Anything else you would care to add?
No, I don't believe so, except that I might comment on the fact that the company is in no way dependent, either directly or indirectly, upon the price of its stock. See, we've never acquired anybody. We don't have any kind of... convertible debentures, bonds, preferred stock, warrants, rights, preferential stock, any of these types of things. You know, strictly common stock, and we're in no way dependent upon its price.
So these are simply paper losses to you?
Well, no, that wasn't with the, that's how it affects us, right, but that wasn't the point. The point was that in today's world, so many companies are directly or indirectly affected by the price of their stock. And ours certainly isn't.
Right. I understand Mr. Burrow does own 81% of the...
Yes, he does. Approximately 81%.
Right. Well, thank you very much. It's kind of you to talk with me, and good luck there.
Well, thank you for calling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
In every core area. New paragraph. On behalf of Ross, Tom, and I want to sincerely thank you for your efforts in making the visit a rewarding and informing experience. May I wish you the best of luck in your future career. Respectfully, Tom. New letter. This one will be to Mr. Carl, C-A-R-L, Wallstrom, W-A-L-S-T-R-O-M. U.S. Embassy, Saigon, Vietnam. Dear Carl, I want to express my sincere appreciation for your efforts in making our trip to South Vietnam a tremendous success. Period. New paragraph. The opportunity to see almost every major place in Vietnam and visit prisoner of war camps in the four core areas, all within 3 days, is a most magnificent feat, I think. The news media representatives recognized this and had nothing but praise for the personnel they met and the operations they witnessed. New paragraph. Once again, on behalf of Ross, Tom.
Tom Marcus.
Thomas Jim Brigance at the Associated Press.
Yes, Jim, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. What's the chances of getting to talk to Mr. Perot for a few minutes? New York's pressing us desperately for a few comments from him considering the stock crisis he's currently undergoing.
Well, Ross is in a sales presentation outside of Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and will be for the rest of the day, meeting with the board of directors of a prospect. So
yeah.
That's gonna tie him up.
Well, do you think we might be able to get with him tomorrow?
Gosh, I don't have any idea, Jim. I've got to go on a sales situation myself tomorrow. So the best thing to do is for me to leave word here for him. I won't see him today.
Yeah.
And then if you could call back, first thing in the morning for him.
Okay. Yeah, they want the AP Business News wants to get some comments out of him. Even though he's losing money on paper, just the sort of how does it feel to lose millions on paper, even sort of a deal, Y'all still don't have any idea what's causing this? We just got a message down here from New York. Dropped another 25 points today.
No, I sure don't.
Do you think you will be back in the office tomorrow, though?
Jim, I could, if he, well, I think he plans on being back off in the office tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm really not positive.
Yeah.
But right. I'm sure he'll get the message by tomorrow.
Yeah, if you'd leave word, I sure would appreciate it. Then we'll call him
sure
back
will.
First thing in the morning.
Okay.
Fine, appreciate it.
Great.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Who, for your information, is in Boston. I don't know if Bob told you about this, but his wife is very ill and needs an operation.
Right, he sure did.
Up there. But I was able to reach Alex and talk to him. And I would say that David Payne, Alex, and I all felt that the indirect methods discussed earlier wouldn't work and would cause more trouble than they would solve and would only serve to create a Prespect crisis into an EDS crisis, and this should be handled in a way that straightens it out but doesn't make it an EDS crisis in the process.
Right.
David Payne said that he was working at the moment, and you probably already have this, on a proposition whereby Ross would make a direct loan to Prespect, which would be cleared with the New York Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has he outlined that to you?
Yes, he just did.
As a subordinated
bank. I wouldn't be too happy about lending money to be subordinated to outside creditors myself, but if that's the only way that this particular problem can be solved, and if by risking $3 million you protect $500 million, that's a business judgment that you all are addressing yourselves to.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him that that's a direct and a means. I said to him I would hope that if you did this, you could get clearance by the New York Stock Exchange in a matter of a half an hour. He said, well, it might take longer than that. I said, I'd rather gather that your client is the one who doesn't have the luxury of much time. And he acknowledged that that was so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you reached Ross in terms of his willingness to make a loan on such a basis?
No, Ross is completely out of pocket. I told Ken we'd do it. But I told him that the main thing, I told him the main thing was, and if they didn't like it that way, just tell them what way would they like it.
Precisely.
You know, because we just want to make it clean, above board, legal.
The essence of what I said, Diane, before was, this is a matter that has to be satisfactory to the New York Stock Exchange.
Right.
Right.
And so to say that Ross is willing to put up the money, in what form do they want him to put it up to straighten the situation out?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me.
Right.
Well, I quite agree with that, and I'm glad you have told Ken that you'll do it that way, and I hope they can get damn quick action up there.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, just for Diane's benefit, too, Bob Martin, being in Philadelphia and not wholly in touch with all of this, suggested the desirability of getting Manny Cohen, and I'll merely repeat what I said to you. If we had a terrible crisis that had to be resolved this afternoon at the SEC, maybe so. I think Manny might be more of a liability than an asset in this one. I would therefore overrule Mr. Martin's recommendation, and he concurred. But once he backs up, Diane.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Well, now that he's getting older, he's getting wiser.
I do. I'm frightened by one thing, is that I may have to go up to New York tonight and work this out with Langone. I said, two blind giants grappling in the dark. You let them work it out at Dawson.
Make it three.
Okay.
I'm going to be out there too, Mark. So.
I'll be here, seriously. Right. I'll be at the office for quite some time, but you better jot down my home phone in case you want it.
Sure will.
I think you have it already, but it's Bethesda, Maryland, which is a different area code. I have to look in my pocket for
301.
And the area code is 301.
Mm-hmm. Real good.
So I will be there. I might be out for an hour or two, but I will be there all evening.
Very good.
And I'll be here probably the early part of the evening.
All right.
You're taking Diane up to New York, I know it'll be straightened out.
I'm not going.
That's right. Well, we don't want to make things too easy, Mark.
Look.
You know me.
Yeah.
You know, I like problems.
Okay, Tom, on the statement, the second matter you spoke of, I know that's something you come to later.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let your anger cause you to take an unwise step. Only make a statement if you're damn sure you got facts.
Okay. Oh, I agree with you 100%, and it's not anger.
Yeah. Well, don't let your anger...
It's just, you know us, we hate to be on the defensive.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the statement... Let's put it this way. In the terms of the financial community, if you put out a statement saying something looks fishy, somebody will say, you're damn right, and we think this company is it. Let's don't make it an EDS problem.
You bet.
Because EDS is in good shape, you got a good financial statement, you got big increased earnings. The manipulations of the boys in Wall Street are something else again. Don't assume responsibility for them, either when they're for you or when they're against you.
Right.
That's my fatherly advice.
Okay.
Diane, make them behave.
I will.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I'll be here if you want me.
Fine.
Okay, so good luck.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Especially impressed with the South Vietnamese officers and men that set up this visit for us and acted as escorts to carry it out. Period. I personally feel that it was a most magnificent feat for them to arrange a visit to practically every major spot in Vietnam, plus prisoner of war camps in four core areas, 400 people, period. Our news media representatives recognized this and had nothing but praise for these people and their operations. New paragraph, period. Again, thank you for all your efforts and assistance, period. Correct that last sentence. Again, I'd like to sincerely thank you for your efforts in making our visit a rewarding and informing experience. May I wish you the best of luck in the future. Sincerely, Tom Muir.
Tom Marcus.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Kent Biffle at Newsweek.
Yes, Kent, how you doing?
Okay, and you?
Fine, thank you.
You haven't come down with malaria or anything, have you?
No, sure haven't so far. I think I've gotten pretty used to that part of the world.
Well, I was calling about something worse than malaria. It's that drop in the stock. I was wondering, do you have any idea why the stock would drop that way?
No, sure don't. Certainly nothing has happened in the company to cause it to do anything like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's just business as usual as far as the company is concerned.
Right, it sure is.
This is kind of a general question, but do you feel like that Ross's peace efforts have had anything to do with making investors uneasy about the stock or the company or anything like that?
We have absolutely no information that would indicate that at all.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we don't go around and, you know, ask our stockholders, you know, what they're thinking or what they're doing.
Yeah.
But many have called us and volunteered the information that they're very proud of what he is doing. And, you know, so everything has been very positive from that standpoint, but that doesn't mean that we've heard from all of them.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, do you have
most of them, they leave off by saying, let us know if there's anything we can do. I guess that's just kind of a standard comment from them. So we tell them to write letters.
Right. Well, do you have any feeling at all for what could cause that?
No, and we haven't spent a lot of time. You understand the company is not based upon stock market value. And we're in the computer business, and we don't pretend to be in anything else. And certainly we sure don't pretend to know anything about the stock market. So, you know, spending a lot of time studying the stock market wouldn't do a thing toward building EDS.
Uh-huh.
And so we feel our obligations are to build a company, and we figure everything else will take care of itself. You know, if I understood the stock market, I sure wouldn't be in the computer business.
Well, I understand Ross is in Kansas City today, but where was he yesterday?
Gee, I don't know. I think he was in Dallas. I was out of town. I got in about 1:30, so... I didn't see Ross till about 3 yesterday afternoon.
But he was in town then.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, these things, you know, it's kind of a herd impulse, I guess, in the market sometimes. But usually there's something that, you know, a lightning bolt or flash or something that sets them off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was curious about, what that was. Because as you point out, there's been no change in the company or its operations. And you've really had, have you had any criticism at all
about
Ross's position?
No, like I say, I've been extremely pleased at the reaction of everybody. Because one of the things that one of our objectives is to get people more interested in what's going on in the world, and particularly around the prisoner of war issue. And get people interested who can do something, you know, who do exert some influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been very pleased.
Well, there's been no news coming out of the company.
No.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, how about this? Are you aware of any large holders who are unloading for reasons of their own?
No, sure not aware of any.
Yeah.
Now, in fact, a lot of people from the investment community have been calling me, and I asked them. I said, well, you know, that's your business. Can you tell me? I said, well, no, that's why we're calling you. I said, well, I'll answer any questions on the computer business, but I'd hope you guys can answer questions about your business.
Well, what are you optimistic that this thing will turn around, that it's some kind of
spring house cleaning or something?
Yeah, I really haven't. Yeah. You know, we just don't spend a lot of time sitting around worrying about the stock.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the strengths of the company, because there's nothing we can do about it. Long range, the only way we can affect the stock is either do a poor job or a great job. And I think it's going to reflect it. Anything that happens short range, you know, it just happens.
Yeah.
But I think long range, the stock will go up if we do an outstanding job, and certainly if we don't do an outstanding job, the stock won't go up. And we're very, I think one of the reasons we are unique in business is that absolutely nothing about the company is in any way dependent upon the value of the stock in terms of performance of the company. See, we haven't gone out and acquired anything through stock, you know, done any kind of, you know, funny paper tricks, anything like that. The things you normally read about that are happening, you know, that have been happening over the last 2 or 3 years with paper.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've done none of that. See, we don't have any preferred stock. We don't have any subordinated debentures. We don't have any bonds. We've just got a bunch of common stock.
No preferred stock, no subordinated debentures. And what else?
No kind of convertible, no warrants. You know, no rights, no bonds. You know, just plain old common stock, which is pretty unusual nowadays, but we did it on purpose.
Why did you do
because
it?
Because we felt the strength of the company should be based strictly upon the performance of the company. No, anything happens to me doesn't disturb me because I've been very fortunate as an individual. Now, and I'm certainly not getting paid to worry about myself.
Yeah.
You know, and if I spend any time worrying about myself, I shouldn't have my position. Now, I'm very concerned about, you know, the small investors, certainly. If you could, I'd like to personally stay out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because my job is to worry about the company and the growth of the company. Now, one of the things, Kent, that we plan on, see, in our business planning, we assume that the worst situation is going to happen. Whether it's the economy, things like this. And we plan that way. See, we don't plan up in a dream hoping everything's going to be fine. So then when things do go bad, say, you know, we have a turn in the economy like we have now, it really has no impact on the company whatsoever. Now, it can impact the stock, and that's something we can't control.
When you have a what kind of problem like you do now?
It's the economy, you know, problems in the economy that's hurting a lot of companies. Well, that hasn't hurt us at all because we plan on these things.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why we have not based anything about the company on the price of the stock, Ken, is because that's something we have no control over.
So you really just you're mystified by the thing, and you're not going to spend much time worrying about it. I get it.
Well, but you understand, that sounds kind of crass.
Huh?
That sounds kind of crass. No, the thing is that there's nothing we can do about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we've never based anything on the company on the value of the stock, because we have absolutely no control over it, and we sure don't want to put our future, you know, in the hands of something we have no control over.
Have you ever even acquired anyone?
Oh, no, we've never acquired anybody.
So this is a very direct kind of relationship between you and the stockholders. or the stock market, isn't it? Since it is plain common stock.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really nothing nothing going on right now in the company that that you can think of that would cause this sort of thing.
No.
Yeah. Well, do you think of anything going on outside the company that that would cause it?
No.
Yeah.
No, certainly nothing I could comment on. You know, there's a lot of theory. I haven't heard. In fact, I haven't heard any theories on EDS. But you know, the whole market has been terrible, as you know. So,
yeah.
About the only theories I hear, ones you probably the same ones you hear or read about in the paper.
But you don't think it's anything specifically involving EDS?
No.
But just part of a larger adjustment or
mm-hmm.
whatever. Yeah. Okay, Tom. Well, thanks a lot.
I'm sorry I couldn't shed any more light, but not only do I not know, I haven't talked to anybody in the investment banking business that knows.
Well,
so I guess that's what makes the investment banking business interesting. That, you know, they're all geniuses when the market's going up, and then you know nobody knows anything when it's going down.
Yeah. Well, I hope this bounces back up right away.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll see you, Tom.
Good to talk to you.
So long.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye. And I can't give you a specific... Tom Marcus.
Hi, Mr. Marcus. This is Charlie Osgood at CBS Radio in New York.
Yes, Charlie.
So I had called
have we ever met?
To talk to see if I could reach Ross Perot, and I understand he's out of town and not available on the phone.
Right.
But I wonder if we could do some kind of a little phone piece here about... what happened to the stock yesterday, but specifically what happened to the stock that that he held, you know, in terms of value.
Mm-hmm.
Would that, could we arrange to do that?
Well, yeah, I'll be glad to talk to you. I can't add much light to anything.
I understand. In fact, even just the fact that it seems so, you know, inexplicable and there's no, the fact that there is no reason for it would be
right.
of interest too, I think.
Good.
All right, sir. We'll roll the tape and we'll start rolling it now. Okay. Could you just be good enough to count to 10, sir? Let's get a little level on your voice.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, that's going to be fun.
All right,
Mr. Marcus, you're what, executive vice president? Is that your title?
No, I'm a vice president of the company, and I've got responsibility for all the financial areas as well as recruiting and a few other things.
All right, sir. Tell me something about what business is Electrona Data Systems in? What is that business?
Our business is going into large companies and providing total data processing systems at predetermined fixed prices, schedules, and results, and working on long-term operating contracts that average about 6.5 years.
And has it been a good business?
Yes, it's been very good in terms of stability, profitability, growth, you know, just everything you measure a company by.
What has happened to the capitalization of the company since it was started?
Well, the company started on a capitalization of $1,000, and it's just grown from that. Hello, Charlie? Outside investing, borrowing, anything like that. And the company did grow without borrowing a penny or selling a share of stock. So it got to the point where it didn't really need to either borrow money or sell stock to support growth. And one of the unique things about the company, I think, is that the company is in no way, directly or indirectly, dependent upon the price of its stock.
Right,
we have no preferred, no bonds, no debenture, no preferential, you know, none of the funny money that's around, just plain common stock.
Now, how much of the common stock does Ross Perot own?
He owns about 9 million shares.
Now, at the price of the stock as of, say, Monday, what would those 9 million shares have been worth?
Gee, I just haven't, you know, I haven't worked it out.
Right, well, of course, we could figure that out. But according to the New York Times story this morning, the paper loss in the decline by 50 points of this stock amounts to something like $445 million, which, you know, which seems like, by most people's reckoning, this is quite a loss for one day. Have you spoken to him since then? Do you know what his feeling about all this is?
Oh, yes, I've talked to him, but we sure haven't discussed that. No, you understand, we like to concentrate on things we can, affect and control, and certainly the price of the stock, we just, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. Our job is to build the company. There's certainly nothing adverse that has happened to the company. You know, I can't see anything that's happened to the company in any way relates to what happened to the price of the stock yesterday.
Now, one thing, of course, that might affect that would be if a large block of stock were put up for sale. As far as you know, has Ross Perot or has anybody else who owns the stock in large quantities put a lot of it up on sale on the market?
Well, none that I know of, and I know nobody in the company has.
You don't think he has, for example?
No, I know he hasn't. See, we're as officers, we're all considered insiders, so that if we buy or sell one share of stock, that's public information. It has to be filed with the SEC and fill out a lot of forms and everything. So that's something nobody has to guess about. It's public information, and they can find that out very quickly.
Right. Now, you're familiar with the company's operations day to day, and there's no secret information or hidden information that you know of that would have made this behave this particular way.
That's correct.
Okay. You just recently declared, in fact, increased profits, didn't you, for one of your reporting periods?
Yes, we just released the profits for the third quarter of this year, and they were up substantially over what we did the first 9 months of last year.
Right. Did you personally own some stocks?
Yes, I am a stockholder.
Right. So, of course, as far as the unless you actually do sell a stock, it's the change of its price on a market from day to day is not doesn't affect you in reality, does it?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, is it? I realize this is something you can't really sort of speculate about, but the main thing I think that people are interested in is Ross's own paper loss. Knowing the kind of a fellow that he is this something that's going to be troubling him a lot, do you think?
Absolutely not. Now, Ross doesn't worry about himself, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why he's been so successful. I'm sure that's one of the reasons. And of course, the company is not paying him to worry about his stock, and he understands that, and we all do. We're getting paid to build a company, and, I think you can look at the record and decide whether or not we have done that kind of a job.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Charles.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
Not your problem, ma'am. I understand.
News Detroit.
Alan Brown?
Alton.
Alton. How do you do, Alton?
Fine. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
Pleasure meeting you. How's the weather down there?
Well, it's not bad. It's cloudy, but no rain.
We've got some nice weather up here for a change.
Good.
And I mean for a change. What we'd like to do, if we could, Mr. Marcus, since Mr. Perot is not available, I wonder if we could do a short telephone interview with you regarding the stock market activity yesterday.
Fine.
Mr. Marcus, can you explain the dip in the stock of EDS yesterday?
No, I sure can't. The only thing I can really discuss with any intelligence is the company and the computer business in general. And certainly any comments about the stock market will have to come from people in that business because we don't even pretend to understand it.
Did this come as a surprise to you?
Well, I really can't say it did or it didn't because we just don't sit around, thinking about the stock or worrying about the stock because we've got our hands full just, running the company and building the company, and that's what we're getting paid to do.
Mr. Marcus?
When you say surprised, I'd say yes, I was surprised, but you know, it's not one of those things that where I've been spending most of my time just, you know, watching the stock, and suddenly it changes and I'm surprised. You have to put it in its context.
Was there any change in atmosphere around the corporate personnel yesterday?
No, there wasn't, and I think, you know, to understand that, you have to understand a little about the company. And one very important thing, which makes it somewhat unique, is that the company and the company's performance is in no way related directly or indirectly to the price of the stock. See, we don't have any, we've never acquired a company, we've never used a stock for anything like that, we don't have any preferred stock, we don't have any debentures, convertibles, warrants, rights, any of that. Bonds, you know, it's just common stock.
Okay, Mr. Marquis, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Alton.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for calling.
Right.
Goodbye.
Nice talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Get in touch with Mr. Perot this evening.
It's Tom Marquis.
Mr. Marquis, this is Tom Sellers at the Daily News in Chicago calling.
Yes, Tom.
We had heard, seen in checking on your EDS stock that it's been taking quite a beating over the last 2 days, and I wondered if you have any idea what the problem is, if any of the institutions or someone's getting out of it, or just what, you know, if you have any announcements, just what this might be attributable to.
No, I don't have any idea. We certainly haven't made any announcements, and certainly nothing in the company, you know, has happened to cause it to do this. So I really can't add much light.
Okay. It's most, now, Mr. Perot owns about 81% of the stock, doesn't he?
Yes, approximately.
Now,
that.
Is most of the rest of it owned by people outside the company, or does do other?
No, about 6% is owned by people outside the company. The rest is owned by people within the company.
I see. Now, is there, of that 6%, is the majority of that held by anyone in specific, or do you know?
No, I don't know. I really don't.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, if you have any announcements to make, or if you finally figure out what the problem is, if you could let us know, we'd appreciate it, Tom.
Right. What's your name, Tom?
Tom Sellers, S-E-L-L-E-R-S. My air.
Fine.
Right. No one in the company is getting rid of the stock.
No, it's your aunt.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right. Nice
Goodbye.
Talking with you. Mm-hmm. Bye.
For a half hour.
Right.
And what I could understand, you know, when I could understand it, you know, it was pretty bad.
Oh, no, sir. There's no implications to it at all.
Now, listen,
if you're a marketing group, that's why I ask you, okay, what we're trying to do is get to the man, okay? That's all. It's that simple. We're not saying anything about, I don't even know you, sir, all right? I am not casting any aspersions or anything else. But we got ourselves built up in our mind. You can understand this, okay? We've been putting our presentation together for a week, been working like hell, you know? I'm afraid to talk to the guy, all right, because, you know, he's my idol in this business, but nonetheless, we're going to do this, all right? So all of a sudden, and bam, all of a sudden, wham, it's off. You can understand that. Nobody's casting any aspersions on you or the rest of the organization.
No, Chuck has been, Bob, so don't tell me nobody has, because he's done it to me.
Well, I know why, because he's very upset, he's very disappointed, he doesn't know what the hell to do. That's why I'm calling now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not knocking secretaries, and we're not knocking you. God, Tom, you've got to understand what we're trying to do.
Well, I can also understand, I've been in marketing for a long time, and if I reacted this way for every time something has changed that, you know, I hadn't planned on, perhaps I'd be in the nut house by now.
That's right. The only one thing you have to understand about this was a big shot for us.
Well, nothing's changed.
Well, nothing really, except I can't get together the talent that I got together tonight and tomorrow another time. I can't afford it, Tom, that's all. And we're upset, sir.
You know, now
but
if
not,
this is a problem, you know, I'll be glad to reimburse you, Bob.
No, sir,
but if
no
you
way.
Got something that's good, I can buy it. And if it's not good, well, I won't buy it. It's just that simple.
Okay, Tom, look, don't, we are over
You know,
here.
I can make the decision.
Okay, we are
But
over
I'm
here.
Sure as hell not going to spend a lot of time
with a lot of guys that think they're talking to some lackey, because I've got half the company working for me, and I can be spending the time with them.
I know.
Because
exactly.
I'm getting paid to build EDS.
I know exactly.
Not something else.
Tom, listen, I know exactly how you feel. When Chuck said that he'd get upset on the phone, and I said, hey, look, I run this show, okay? And I do. I'm the man, all right? Let me call. Because I think I'm more rational than you are, because he was very upset, you know, and that's understandable. You have to understand that. If you can't, well, that's something else again. And we are not calling you a lackey. We're going to meet with you tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And, God, I don't want any preconceived notions here about that. I want that dispersed one way, you know, that's out. The only thing that we thought that we could do, and you, like I said, I'm marketing man, all right, you can understand this, is that we thought that we had an in with a guy named H. Ross Perot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hell, that's one hell of an in, all right, if you can get him to listen. And I didn't believe Chuck could even do it. I said, that man's too damn busy, you know, he's flying all around the world doing all these things. And Chuck, I said, but Chuck tried, and he did. We're not casting, Tom, any aspersions on you. We are not, okay, browbeating secretaries. Please understand that.
Okay.
And you're hot at me right now, and I understand why, because we're overreacting, because we're extremely disappointed, all right? But we don't get this way in every marketing situation, but you have to understand, you are in the driver's seat in a, you know, in a big shot, okay? And we're just starting, and we thought we had something that was really worthwhile, you know, and quite honestly, I'm a human being, and I felt like, you know, wow, you know, bam, I'm shot down.
Well, listen, if it's worthwhile, we'll do it. If it's not, we won't. It's that simple.
Well, I know, but I just want you to understand how we felt about it, that's all.
Right, and obviously, and then this is another thing, Chuck said he knew Ross a lot. He obviously knows him, or Chuck wouldn't have agreed to meet. Number one, he wouldn't agree to meet with him.
Right.
But number two, Ross doesn't give people a runaround. And if Chuck knows him, he knows that. And to accuse him of 25 times at least to me, and to Ross's secretary accusing, giving the runaround, you know, if a guy doesn't understand what is said once, okay. But after two times, then I get concerned about his judgment, frankly.
Well, Tom, all I can say is this, is that I appreciate your analysis, and it is correct and it is cogent. But we were counting on this so much. I think Chuck built it up in his mind to the point where we just had a talk, and he said, look, I'm going to call. I said, you're going to call anybody back. I'll call him back, okay, because I run the show really anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all disappointed, obviously. You know, you can't help but be. And I'm sorry if we feel that way, but we have to.
Mm-hmm.
In my wildest dreams, and I'm only a hillbilly marketing director, okay, that I could ever get in and see Ross Perot on any basis. And it was a big thing for me, too, and I'm very disappointed. Now, when I do that and I say that, okay, so Tom says, well, he thinks he's talking to some lackey or something like that. We don't mean to convey that impression. It's just that, you know, well, you've been through it. You've got to have been through it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was our shot. We're in trouble. We need funds. This looked like, you know, we think we got something, and we're going to show it to you tomorrow. That's really great. So we came down here with the impression that, look, one thing in the world, okay, H. Ross Perot understands the data processing.
Mm-hmm.
So, hell, if we are that good and we think we're that good, there's no problem. There's no sweat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, wham, it shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Chuck reacted to. And I'm sorry if he did. He is not an irrational man. But he was doing something that I very seldom do. He was playing on a personal relationship with Mr. Perot.
Okay, now, you know what that buys you. That buys you an appointment, but certainly
that
doesn't buy
you
a deal. Everything has to be stand on its own merits, because, you know, Ross got responsibility to every guy in this company and to stockholders and everything else.
And in my own
way,
I do.
Frankly, he would not make any kind of decision based upon any personal relationship.
Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't. But the one thing is, the personal relationship is something I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Did get us an appointment with a man that I could never get an appointment with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, look, Tom, do me a favor, would you? Just keep an open mind tomorrow, and let me do my best with you, okay?
Fine, I will.
And if we stink, we'll stand on our own merits, okay?
Great. That's all I expect.
And we're going to see you at 1 o'clock tomorrow, sir.
Good enough. See you then, Bob.
Tom, thank you very
mm-hmm.
much.
Good night.
Good night.